Psalm 100. It consists of five verses. And in these five verses, as we think upon these verses, I'd like for us to, by faith, take a journey this morning. And that journey will be to the very throne of God. And it won't be an imaginary journey. It is a real journey. It is a true journey that we are blessed to be able to do, to enter into the very presence of our Lord God Almighty. Psalm 100, I want to read all five verses. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth through all generations. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before You, and how do we say thank You? There's so much that You do for us every second of our life. And as the psalmist declared, that daily You heap upon us blessings. Blessings that cannot even be numbered. But yet, Lord, as we try to think upon them, as we try to think upon Your goodness, help us, Lord, in this time, not only in this season of Thanksgiving, but every day that we live, to approach You with a heart that's filled with gratitude, a heart that's filled with Your love for us, our love for You, and our love for one another. And Lord, help us to live in the abundance of Your grace and mercy that You've bestowed upon us. Father, we pray You to be in our presence today, asking, Lord, that You would bid us come into Your presence in a way of fellowship through worship and praise to Your holy name, and that You would make Yourself known to us in a glorious manner, that with gladness, with joy, with thanksgiving and praise, we honor You. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. When we sing, we're making a joyful sound unto the Lord. I always have tried to make a distinction between a noise and a sound. And sometimes I make a noise, but sometimes there's a sound that comes out also. And so the Lord tells us in this first verse that how it's received by Him is a matter of where it comes from us. If it comes from our hearts before Him, He receives it as that beautiful sound of praise and honor and worship unto Him. If it comes from my head, I'm not sure how that He receives it. Maybe it's just a noise to Him at that time. But in any instance, He still says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now, all ye lands, again, here I am with my word definitions and thinking about what is being said on that. Literally means all the earth. Let all the earth make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And you know, in its own way, even that which we call creation makes a joyful noise unto the Lord. I mentioned a week or so ago about being awakened each morning with the birds singing and how that's a joyful noise. And I believe that they're singing praises to God. There's so many things that have been shown to make a joyful noise. I want to share a video that Sister Vicki shared with me a few weeks ago about the stars and how the stars make a joyful noise to the Lord. And with the technology that they have now, they're able to zero in on stars that we can't hardly even see with our eyes. And not only are they able to do that, but they are able to listen in to those stars And the first cluster of stars that they show on this video is, it sounds like percussion. And it's just a, excuse me, but it's, and it's constant coming out. And it's a group of stars that said it was had actually exploded, but then they're magnetic, so they came back in. And as they're coming back in, this noise is being sounded out from them. Then they went to another one. I don't remember the names of all of these, but they went to another one, and it sounded like a bass drum. Then they went to another one. And I may be leaving one of them out, but this one I'm thinking about now actually was sounding a chord. Over and over and over again. And the man who was doing this said, "Now, let's put them all together." And he said, "We're going to slow down the one that was..." So they slowed it down to a beat, then they put the bass drum with it, then they put the chords with it. And then he said, "Now let's join our voices with them." And they began singing, "How great is our God." And all of creation was singing praises to God. Isn't that amazing? That God has created even that we call nature, that which is the stars in the heavens, declare the glory of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And it was an amazing orchestra when all of those things were put together to if anybody wants to hear it, contact Sister Vicki. She'll send it to you. What was the other one?
Whales.
Yes, the whale singing. They put the whale's noise in there with it. It was amazing. Made me want, I did start singing along with it actually. So make a joyful noise. That which, you know, our ears may hear it as one thing and God receives it as something completely different. As glory unto His holy name. Make a joyful noise, all ye lands. And my voice doesn't go out over all the earth, or actually there are those from foreign countries that watch on Facebook. So I'm not sure how far my voice does go out. But I always want it to be a joyful noise that comes from this pulpit. Even if it's something that I don't necessarily enjoy preaching, I want it to come across as a joyful noise because it's the voice of the Lord speaking through His Word, even in things that He corrects me with, that it's still a joyful noise because in His correction for me, He's saying, "I love you." And so as He speaks to us this morning as our song service, We were making a joyful noise unto the Lord. We were making a joyful noise that wasn't just heard by our ears. In fact, we weren't singing to one another. We're singing to God. Our voice is to go up, and in such a way that it approaches the very throne of God. Make a joyful noise. Now, here I am again with my definition. And this one surprised me. The definition for noise as it was used here in this 100th Psalm. Make a joyful noise. I looked it up and that word noise means to mar. Did you catch that? To mar. If you mar something, what happens? If I marred this pulpit, I would... Well, they don't do that anymore, but used to, we'd put our initials on our school desk. We were marring the surface of it. We're scratching into it. It means to, literally, to scratch into or to break. I'm thinking, how does that come about with this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord? As I began to think about how do you apply that marring or breaking, what does that mean? Do you remember back in the 80s, I guess it was, Christians became referred to as the silent majority? I hope we're still in the majority. I feel like we are, or our nation would be completely gone under. But when we make a joyful noise unto the Lord, you know what we're marring and what we're breaking? We're breaking that silence. And it's time. It's time for God's people to start breaking the silence that has been deafening, the deafening roar of silence that has been throughout Christianity for the last probably 50 years, maybe 60 years now, that we have become the silent majority, and shame on us. It is time that we break that silence, that we mar that silence, that we scratch through it and let our voices be heard. Let our joy be known. Let the glory of the Lord be seen and heard in our voices. You know, that we let them... I didn't mean this get into this direction, but here we go. We let them silence us. We let them say, you can't speak about God in school. You can't speak about God in government. You can't speak about God on the job. You can't speak about, you might offend somebody if you speak something about the Lord. And God says, I want to hear a joyful noise. I want that marred. I want that broken. I want the silence to be gone. I want my people to speak out and make a joyful noise. It isn't always singing that makes the joyful noise. Sometimes it's a simple, thank you, Lord, or thank the Lord, or the Lord has been so good to me. Just to be able to testify and to glorify the Lord wherever that we are. If we... Okay, I'm going to say this and I'll come off of this. If we are the silent majority, they can't put all of us in prison, can they? They can't put us all away. If we simply speak the name of the Lord in a reverential manner, in a reverential way, God is good. His mercy is upon me. He's blessed me beyond anything that I could ever imagine or hope for. God's blessings are continually being heaped out and poured upon me. I can't hold them all. And when we stop to realize what God is doing for us, the joy is going to come out. There's joy in praise. There's joy in making that noise that glorifies God. It's time that we break the silence. It's time that we mar it. It's time that the joy be sounded forth. That noise means to shout in triumph. We sing the song inside the four walls. Oh, victory in Jesus. This morning, I'm asking myself, but I'm going to ask you also, do you really believe that we have victory through Jesus Christ? Then shouldn't our lives reflect that? Shouldn't our lives reflect the love that Christ has for us and our love for Him? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, that the name of the Lord is exalted and glorified. It's a shout in triumph. It's a shout in joy. It's a shout on impulse. Again, that word impulse. This morning I thought, I know that was in the definition, but what does impulse mean? So I looked that up also. It means it is a driving or motivating force. Now sometimes we do things on impulse that we regret, right? We've all had impulsive reactions or reflexive actions toward something that happens to us. But the impulse that comes to us as a result of understanding God's goodness, His mercy, and His love for us, when we realize that, the impulse is that motivating force that breaks me out of my shell, that breaks me out of that wall that I've built up around me, that inside that wall I'm just so happy and I'm just joyful and I'm rejoicing in the Lord. But outside I'm not sure that it's being portrayed like it ought to be. So that impulse, that force that comes forth from us, it's a motivating force that makes something happen, or it makes it happen more quickly. And be careful with that, because that impulse that we have from our brain sometimes makes things happen that shouldn't happen. But when it's from a joyful noise of the Lord and that motivating force of showing His glory and the joy of our heart, It speaks to us in such a way that we're reflecting and portraying what God has done for us. And that is a motivating force in our lives, that we constantly have Him in front of us. We have Him before us. We have Him in a way in which that He literally is our guide, that we're trying to step closer to Him with each step that we take, with each movement that we make, and every word that we speak, that we're trying to get closer and closer and closer with Him. Our motivation is that I want to walk with the Lord. And there's something that needs to come forth from me in order to fully enjoy that daily walk that I have with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the motivation that comes to us, it speaks of the origin of it in verse 3. In verse 3, he says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." The Lord is God. Can I say it one more time? I'm going to. The Lord, He is God. He has the final say-so. He has the final authority. He has the utmost power. He is the utmost glory. He is everything. He is our all and in all. And when we realize that the Lord is God, the Lord is the one with full control over me, and I'm seeking to lift up His name, there's a joy that comes about when I realize the impact and the impulse that comes from me as a result of realizing and remembering who God is. It is He that has made us. We hear, I don't think I've heard it in a while, but used to, it was a common thing to hear people say, "Well, he's a self-made man," or "she's a self-made woman." And I tell you, there is no such thing. We are blessed. If there's anything good of us, we are a God-blessed people, not self-made. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. You might say, "Well, I put in all of this effort and all this time and all of this ability that I've had." Where did the effort come from? Where did the ability come from? Where did the understanding come from? Where did the time come from? You see, everything about us belongs to God. Everything that we have in this life is on loan. It's temporary. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. And it's He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people. Just stop just a minute. Think about that one statement. We are His people. We're His. We're His. What did it take for us to become His? What did it take for you and I today to be able to say, "The Lord, He is my God. And my God shall supply all of my needs according to His glory in Christ Jesus"? What did it require for us to have that privilege to say, "He's my God, and I'm His people"? You know what it required, but I'm going to remind us this morning, because again, that's part of Thanksgiving. Jesus left glory to come to this earth. Jesus left a place where angels bowed before Him. He left a place where that constantly they were crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." In a place that you and I cannot, I tried to talk about it last Sunday, that we cannot even begin to imagine. He, that glory that surrounded Him, He left that. And as beautiful as this earth is in places, it pales in comparison to what He left. And He left the place where angels bowed before Him to come to a place where sinners would accuse Him wrongfully. He came to a place where that He who knew no sin laid down His life on the cross on Calvary's hill, that He would make this sinner to be His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What more could I want for? As long as I know that the Lord is my shepherd and He provides every single thing that I have need of day in and day out. When I can understand that, that joy begins to build up inside of me. When I really can understand that Jesus did all that for me, that joy begins to well up. And quite honestly, the impulse of it is, the pressure of it is, when I really think upon that, the pressure is that the joy starts moving up. And it starts moving up from the very heart, the very core of my being. It begins to move up, and somehow it has to express itself. It's that motivational force that comes forward to praise the Lord as I understand I'm His. And not only that, there's nothing that can separate me from His love. There's nothing that He'll ever come to a point and say, "Well, you're not mine anymore." There's nothing that would cause Him to stop loving us. I'm His. You're His. And the impulse of that is joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let all the lands make a joyful noise. I begin to think about the Psalms. And that we don't have time for me to go through all the Psalms that speak of people making a joyful noise, the writers making a joyful noise to the Lord. But I picked out three. You're already in the Psalms. If you want to turn to the 22nd Psalm, Psalm 22. I'm going to start with verse 3. Read verses 3 through 5. Why is it so, before, as you're turning there, why is it so important for us to praise Him? Why is it so important for us to try to give glory to Him? Does that make God any better? Does it make Him any bigger? Does it make Him any more powerful? But notice what the psalmist said about praise. Starting in verse 3, Psalm 22. "But Thou art holy." This is the holy God that we're talking about. "O Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Did you catch that? God inhabits our praise. God inhabits. When we begin to praise Him, I asked a while ago, did it make God any bigger or better or stronger? It doesn't affect Him. It affects us. Praise comes to us in such a way that as we praise Him, as we worship Him, as we express our love for Him, in our understanding, not only does God become bigger in our understanding and better in our understanding and stronger in our understanding, He is, we come to that point of realizing He's in us. He's in us. No, he doesn't actually become bigger, but in my understanding, He is enlarged. I hope between now and Christmas to preach when Mary went to Elizabeth, her cousin, and said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." That's what happens when we begin to praise Him. He's magnified in our sight. If you take a magnifying glass and you put it to the letters, the letters don't become bigger, they become bigger in your sight. And as we begin to praise God, He becomes bigger in our sight, in our understanding. "Oh, Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Our fathers trusted in Thee." You see, when we begin to praise Him, our memories start going back. Again, I don't mean this to be in any way embarrassing. Actually, it's not embarrassing at all. But Brother Larry, in his prayer this morning, he mentioned how that our fathers began this nation, and how that the Constitution was based upon the Ten Commandments. Our laws are based upon the laws of God, and yet people are trying to wipe them off. And yet I say to you, you cannot wipe away the laws of God. You might erase it off a piece of paper, but God has written them into our hearts, and they will not be erased. And we will have to deal with them one another. But here the psalmist is saying, our fathers trusted in You, and you're holy, and You haven't changed. So if God hasn't changed and change is coming about in our land, who has changed? It's us. Our fathers trusted in you. What happened when they trusted into you? Well, it says they trusted and thou didst deliver them. Has God lost His power? His ability to deliver? Or have we lost some of our trust and some of our confidence? They cried unto thee. They poured out their hearts to you. They prayed. They sought your guidance. They sought your direction. They looked to you. Which way should I go? How should we deal with this? And they were delivered. And again, he says it again. They trusted in you and were not confounded. Now, again, here I go with my definitions. The word confounded, as it's used there, means disappointed. They trusted in God and they were not disappointed. Does that mean that God is always going to give us everything we ask for? No, but He'll give us what we need. And when God gives us what we need according to His purpose and His will, there's no disappointment in that. When we can understand He's doing that because of His love for me. So here's that joyful noise. You're holy. You're righteous. You're perfect. There's nothing about you that has any blemish or any fault. And I want to trust you. I want to trust you, Lord. I want to put my confidence in you. I want to just cry out. I want to pour out my heart to you, Lord, realizing that when I do, some of the things that are poured out may not sound good to me, but at least I'm trusting you, Lord, to help me take care of them. Help me to deal with them. Help me to get through this situation. And so as we're crying out and as we're trusting, I forgot to tell you to keep your place in 100 Psalm. Because at that point, when we're trusting and we're crying out, verse 4 of 100 Psalm says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We're now entering. I told you we're taking a little journey. We've been standing at the gate. Now we're going to take a step in. And because of the fact that God's love for me is so deep and so great, and because of the fact that I can place my full confidence in Him, and my expectation only comes from God, that He's going to supply, He's going to meet, He's going to guide, and because that I have the freedom to just pour out my heart to Him, I have so much already to be thankful for. And I've just put one foot inside the gate right now. But I have so much to be thankful to God for all that He has done for me in bringing me to this place. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. I'm going to make a joyful noise now. Jesus loves me. In spite of who I am, He loves me. And His love is so deep that it goes beyond anything that I could ever begin to imagine. And because of that, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a song that was written, I think, by the Easters, Jeff Easter. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. And he goes through and starts counting the blessings that they have time for in that song. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that I can trust you. Thank you that I have confidence in you. Thank you that I can speak to you about the deepest concerns of my life. Thank you that whatever comes at me, I can lay it at your feet and know that you're going to see me through it. Thank you, Lord. You see how that joyful noise now is beginning to be magnified? Thank you, Lord. I praise you. I honor you. I give glory unto you. For you are the God of all creation. And in spite of that, in addition to that, you're my God. Bless His name. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in our believer's ear. It calms our souls. It soothes our sorrows. It drives away the tears. Precious name of Jesus. Take them out to keep song after song after song that identifies with psalm after psalm after psalm. So now we're inside the gate. And I'm trusting. I'm praising. I'm giving thanks to Him. And then go to Psalm 33. I'm not finished with 100 yet, but Psalm 33. Because as we're praising Him, realizing He inhabits our praise, and the more that we praise, the closer we are to Him. And the closer we are to Him, the more of His glory we can see, the more of His majesty we can see, the closer that we are to Him, the better that we can hear what He's saying to us, because now we're inside the gate and we shut out the noise of the world, because the world screams at us, look here, look there, look yonder. And God says, no, look at Me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Again, song after song after song. But Psalm 33, as we're looking at Him and getting closer to Him, the psalmist declares, let all the earth fear the Lord. Now that word fear, it has a double meaning. But in this verse, it means let all the earth honor Him. Let all the earth give honor and praise unto the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. I am afraid that in so many areas of Christianity, and I'm not excluding myself, that it's too easy for us to lose our awe of God. I saw a lot of pictures. I didn't get up at 4:30 to see the eclipse the other night, but I know people did. And they were in awe. They were in awe of how the eclipse took place. I'm in awe at night when I look up and can see all the stars that are there. But you know what? That eclipse, as glorious as it may have been, pales in comparison to the glory of God. For it was God who created it. It was God who aligned the sun, moon, and stars and the earth and all that is in it. It is God that keeps the earth in absolute perfect rotation so that at however often it occurs that the earth comes between the sun and the moon and we have that eclipse. Or sometimes the moon comes between the earth and the sun and we have the solar eclipse. You know, that's God's faithfulness that allows that to happen. From the very beginning of time when God said, let there be, He has maintained perfect order in this universe. And I tell you that He will maintain perfect order until He says, time is no more. Man cannot undo what God has done. Thank the Lord. So as you think about this, let all the earth honor, fear the Lord, honor Him, and stand in awe of Him. Have you ever had something in your life that takes place and you know without a shadow of a doubt, you know that only God could have done that? There was no other way for everything to line up the way that it lined up and for it to come out the way that it did, except God was in absolute control. And yet, so many times I hear people say, I was so lucky. No, you weren't lucky. That person was not lucky. We're blessed. We're blessed of God. We're blessed of God. Luck gives no honor to God. To say that I'm blessed of God gives Him the full credit and honor and glory that's due His name. Stand in awe of Him. It wasn't our lucky stars. It was God. I love the song by Lee Greenwood. If I could change one word, two words, the one place where he says, I thank my lucky stars. No, I thank my God above. I thank Him and I stand in awe of Him. Same 33rd Psalm, verse 13. Sometimes I think this, and I've had people say this to me, you know, I know God's so busy. I know He's so busy keeping everything in order. The sun's in place, the moon's in place, the earth and all the planets are in place. I know that God is so busy, and I don't want to bother Him with this little thing that's going on in my life. And can I tell you, you never bother God by pouring out your heart to Him. No matter how big it may be or how small or trivial you might think it is, God is there. And verse 13 says, the Lord looketh from heaven. He's looking at you. He's looking at you in what's going on in your life at any given moment. I stand in awe of Him because, yes, He's keeping the universe in order. But in all of that, He looks down and He knows. And in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, which I'm not going to get to today, the fourth chapter of Hebrews says He's touched by the feelings of my infirmities. The things that trouble me, the things that bother me, the things that concern me. God is touched by those things. Not to the point that He says, what am I going to do now? But He's touched in such a way to say, I'm here. And I've got this. And I've got you. And I'm going to see you through. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation. Where's the place of His habitation? Our praise. He inhabiteth the praise of His people. From the source, from the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. God sees us. And when I can understand that, going back to Psalm 100, I can serve the Lord with gladness. I can serve Him with gladness. I can praise Him. I can honor Him. I can submit myself to Him to know that He's going to see me through. Closing verse 5 of 100, Psalm 100. I haven't touched the subject this morning. But from what I have been able to say, what I've been able to see, I can say amen to what the psalmist David closes out this 100th psalm. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. I don't think I've ever asked for an amen from the pulpit before. The Lord is good.
Amen.
Thank you. I didn't even have to ask for it, did I? The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. Our fathers trusted Him. If our fathers trusted Him and He delivered them, you and I can trust Him also. And do you know what He'll do? He'll deliver us. He gave us that prayer, didn't He? We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's the model prayer. Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He delivered us. We can trust Him. We can praise Him. We can honor Him. And give glory to His name. May we pray.